Hi, and welcome to episode 13 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm your host, Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mass from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me for the ever-growing jungle of indie comics are writer, artist, and creator of the brilliant ongoing superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And some people call him a space cowboy, but we just call him Tony Esmond.
I saw a video of Dan doing push-ups on YouTube today.
Why can't you just say hello? But what's this all about, Dan?
Yeah.
A video of you doing push-ups?
I put my son on my back and I did a push-up. That was the longest.
Oh, well, that makes total sense then. Okay.
That's going to go viral.
Like everything we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're back to letting people from the outside world into the Thunderdome that is the Awesome Pod HQ. And before we get stuck into the usual nonsense you all expect, I think it's time to introduce this week's special guest, don't you think, lads?
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh, well, that's a lot of enthusiasm for you. Right, anyway. The new publishing imprint Madius Comics has spewed forth such acclaimed titles as Paper Cuts and Ink Stains, 50 Signals, and even more since their inception. So we thought it was about time to talk to one of the brains in the jar behind it all. With that in mind, it's our pleasure to introduce writer, letterer, and all-round hyperactive comics enthusiast, Rob Jones, to the show. Welcome, Rob.
Hello, how are you doing? Hello, Rob.
I call him hyperactive, and he just goes, hello.
I'm sat here waving my arms, though. I'm doing jazz hands, it's fine.
Yeah. we love jazz hands.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rob's going to be here for the whole show, as usual, so Lord knows how this is going to go. And God bless him for staying with us.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is certainly going to be interesting. But before we do all that, let's get into the usual nonsense of what we have been doing, reading, talking about, dancing, blah, 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 blah. Mr. Esmond?
Yeah, I've had a good week, actually. I don't know if you noticed that my name is now the name of a bar in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, sort of.
See that? Yeah. How cool is that?
Brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Someone pointed out there was a police officer standing outside, which is like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'd need to be.
Well done, Tony.
Thank you. I was very pleased.
Imagine you get very rowdy in there. So.
Quite sexy rowdy. You know what goes on in there, don't you?
Well, it's certainly not going to pass any health and safety regulations, is it?
So what comics are going to pop up in?
I don't think I'm allowed to say at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is this the place where you're going to be bringing fingering back?
Yeah, that's exactly the place, Rob. Thanks for bringing that up. That is the bar that is the headquarters for the fingering.
Oh, right. Okay. Very good.
Yep. The epicenter of the fingering movement is
Esmond Bar. Badges, everything. so that made my week. That was very exciting. And then Matt Harrower, who's a mate of mine, a comic artist, and me are working on a bit of a comic. Mostly it's him, but I sort of put stupid things in that help him out. And he showed me a couple of panels from that, which I sent to you two guys, didn't I? It looks
brilliant.
Really good.
Yeah, it looks lovely.
Yeah. I met up with Christian Wild Goose yesterday for a coffee. And he showed me, Lamming and Harrow and everyone, and he showed me some pages from Briar, which is coming out at Said Lakes, which is his new book with Improper Books. And that is absolutely gorgeous, incredible, incredible stuff. And he had some pages. He's done a backup strip in Phonogram as well, which looks incredible. Best visualization of people dancing in a comic I've seen since Mary Jane. You know, like really great stuff.
Mary Jane? What do you mean by Mary Jane?
Mary Jane, you know, from Spider-Man.
Well, I know who she is, but like...
You know, she does a sort of dance, doesn't she, when John Romita draws doing a dance, you know.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I went to an exhibition, a comics exhibition, that was just a series of traced images. That was quite boring.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What, just trace photos?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I'm sad to say. Yeah.
What, presented as comic art?
Yeah. Quite expensive as well, you know.
I moaned about it the other day, didn't I, about that at Melksham.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Yeah. This is, you know what comics are like. We love a bit of hype, don't we? And it's had a bit of hype, and I'm not 100% sure. I won't name the person because that's just rude. But I think it doesn't deserve quite the hype it's got.
Okay.
I can tell you what films some of the pictures are from, you know. It's to that point.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. Not great, yeah. So on that, pretty good comics week. It wasn't a big week for me in my pull list, but I picked up some interesting things, one of which I'm going to speak about in a minute. But yeah, it's all right. What about you, Dan?
I've been talking about this previously on Twitter and to you guys, but after Chris Lackey appeared on our show, I tracked down the HP Lovecraft Literary podcast.
Yay!
And while I've been drawing during the week, I've been listening to that, and it's just cracking. It's really good.
That's brilliant.
I mean, just absolutely production-wise, the way they kind of break down stories. I'm kind of not the biggest Lovecraft fan, but I've read a lot of it, and I really enjoy it. And so I went through the iTunes and cherry-picked out the ones I'd listened to. I read, sorry. And listen to them, and then they're bringing up stuff that I hadn't considered in the books.
Yeah,
It's great. I can't recommend it enough.
Chad and Chris are great hosts as well, aren't they? They're really good, really well spoken.
It's got little acted bits out, or narrated bits, isn't it? They've got an actor in who reads the book out, which is really nice. Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever listened to those Dark Adventure Radio Theatre. They do like a kind of dramatisation of, like...
No, I haven't actually.
I think Shadow Over Innsmouth, Mountains of Madness... Okay. Dunwich Horror and another one, and they have the same actors that appear on that show those readings. So if you go to their website, which is hbpodcast.com, and it's on iTunes as well, there's tons of episodes, there's readings of stories, articles. It's been thoroughly entertaining listening to them while I draw.
And also I've said it before and I'll say it again, but Chad Pfeiffer is responsible for the theme tune for the Awesome Comics podcast.
Oh, cool.
Oh, what a ledge.
Yeah, so he does all the music for HP Podcraft and like very kindly allowed us to use his music for this. So thank you, Chad.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, go check out his website, which I'll put in the links as always.
We should hit him up for a special spooky Halloween one.
Oh, yeah.
Our show is coming up. That'd be a good idea if he's got time.
Check you out.
Vince, what about you?
Well, I've just been getting over a cold, so I've been feeling sorry for myself all week. I've been getting on with some more Red Mask work. I've got a lot of issue 3 left to do, and another special super secret short that I'm currently working on. So
what's the schedule, Vince? Right, I'm going to get 2 pages done this week.
What the hell's a schedule?
Yeah.
What is this?
You've got kind of like a production art based job, so I would have thought you would have kind of worked to...
You would have thought that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but you don't.
No. No, I try to, like, a bit... Obviously, like, having a full-time job and stuff, it's trying to fit doing what you can when you can, sort of thing. So I set aside time to obviously write stuff, and I've got a few days holiday coming up, so I'm just going to look into just do some straight out inking and panel layouts. It's also more awkward because we're neck deep in a convention season.
Going mad as well now.
Making sure. I keep looking at my stock and then re-looking at my stock. I'm really weird when it comes to that. I'm checking what I've got and rechecking them. Anyway, I won't dig myself a deeper hole than I've already got after 12 flipping weeks of this show. I did get a chance to read a couple of comics this week, though. But I don't know if you want... Do you want to go first, Tony?
I'm
stepping all over you.
Sorry, Tony, I've kind of jumped right.
No, and I was going to as well, because...
I'm just a bit worried Rob's still there. Are you still there, Rob?
I'm still here, man. I'm still here. I'm just sat there listening to you guys.
Oh, you poor...
I said we'll bring out the production process later to you, Rob, like how you handle...
Because honest to God, it's unreal. I have lists, and you sat there looking at these lists, and you're going, "Oh, I'll tick that one off," and then 17 other things come onto the list, and then you've got like Nick popping up every now and again, going, "Can you just letter these couple of bits in this reissue of 50 Signal 1?" And then you've got Mike Sandbrook going, "I've just reread this, and I've made a couple of tweaks." You're like, "I've lettered the pages. Stop it." It's like, I know, but we want to make it the best we can. I'm like, the best we can. But my wife also wants to spend time with me at some point.
There has to be a deadline.
Yeah.
Well,
We're going to do our best to make sure we don't drop you in any trouble, just in case she listens to this episode.
She does listen to it, maybe, sometimes not through choice, but...
Good man. The Awesome Comics Podcast, number one, but not by choice.
Lady friendly.
Anyway, comics, Tony, tell us.
Okay. I picked up this week, one of the ones I picked up at Orbital, actually, was a comic. Now, don't read anything into this, but it's called Adult Magazine. Not the normal sort of adult magazine that I read. It's not Razzle Reader's Wives or anything like that. It's
Razzle, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's basically an anthology that's... it's put out by a company I hadn't heard of. I think they're quite new, called Lead Ache Comics. And it's about what it's like to be an adult as opposed to sort of, you know, adult sort of sexy things. And it's about the sort of frustrations and the anxiety and the responsibilities that you finally discover once you get to a certain age that you've got as an adult, you know. The first story is by a girl called Tiffany Baker, and it's a sort of pseudo horror story about her dealing with her sort of hidden anxieties and fears. And the second story is probably my favourite, actually, but it's by a guy called Dave Valeza, not really sure how you say it, but he's it's about just sort of everyday life, really. It's a bit of a sort of slice of life, but it's sort of what he has to do to get by in the sort of complicated world that is, you know, is the world today, you know. Great art, really, really nice sort of crisp line to the art. And there's a couple of other stories in there. One's by Melissa Trender and one's by Hamish Steele. Hamish's story is about basically a sort of a sexless sort of creature that's given a decision, you know, what do you want to be? Do you want a boy or a girl? And it says, so, oh, I suppose I'll be a girl. And it sort of takes him on this sort of ride through what he has to do to be a girl. And it's sort of a comparison of a video game in your own real life and how you create things around yourself, you know, and a sort of story, and you've got to run yourself through life. But it's good. I hadn't seen it all before. I think it's in the new, certainly new out this year. They're a group who are a group of animators who decided, because of their love of comics, they'll start doing some comics. And you can get it in Foils, Gosh, Mega City, Orbital, and at leadache.bigcartel.com. Their website is leadache.com. And it was only $3.50, which is pretty good for a comic these days. I'm a bit sick of some, I don't know what you guys think, but I'm a bit sick of sort of overpriced small press at the moment.
Yeah.
I presume that's just because of the printing costs, like where they get smaller runs of Cosmo. I don't know,
but there's some that's hugely overpriced. You know, some that you see, somebody just sort of thought, well, £9, you know, and you think, fuck, really?
Really?
It goes beyond the printing cost then to just about making money. I mean, I can tell you for a fact that, like, I'm not making anything really from Red Mask. Do you know what I mean? You know, for every issue that I sell, I get the printing back and a little bit that will go into the printing the next lot. You know, that's it. There's no take home, you know, I'm going to buy myself a nice bag of crisps for lunch, you know, that kind of thing. It's all whatever you see on the table is going into whatever will be on the table the next convention or the convention after that.
Speaking from like my experience with Madius, what we do is we run at a loss, kind of, first to be honest with you, because we divide up like our every sale is divided up between the art team and It's why I letter to cover the loss. You know what I mean? Like that way. So it makes sure then that the art team are getting fair cop every issue we sell. They're getting money off it, you know. And I sit back. It's not about money for me, you know what I mean? Yeah. It is. As long as I can letter pages and cover the cost of printing, I'm happy, you know.
Yeah.
That's how we work.
That's nice, mate, I mean, I'm a bit sick of sort of people. It tends to be like the really, really arty end of stuff for me sometimes. You know, it might be just because I'm back off the back again. There's places like Safari and all these sort of things, you know, the festivals. But it tends to be the sort of really arty end that you think, really, £8 for this? You know, it's sort of, you know, and there seems to be, I think part of it is the sort of snootiness of it. You know, this is an art book, not a comic sometimes to me. But yeah, I'm a bit sick of that.
I'm sorry, but that actually really pisses me off.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Sorry, I just got a bit emotional there for the first time in the first time of the week. Sorry, man.
I don't think we disagree. I mean, we all agree that a good comic is a good comic, but there's no need to sort of be up your arse about it, you know. What do you think, Vince? It's on your nerves, is it? Or
yeah, well, I don't know. I don't like, I mean, as a person, I don't like anyone looking down on anyone else. Just in life, that really pisses me off. Like when people think they're better than someone else just because their stuff is different. And you see that quite a lot with, you know, some comic book movements. They will just think, oh, you know, you're doing this sort of comic, you're doing monsters or you're doing superheroes. That isn't real. You know, this isn't real art. Yeah. Yes, it fucking well is. If people are passionate about it, like we all are, you know, we want to do comics about zombies, monsters, explosions, this, that, the other. If one of Tony's comics, it's probably some sort of sexual depravity. You know, and it's all relevant and it's all good. Just because a comic isn't for me, like there's a lot of stuff that isn't for me out there, I'm not going to look at it and go, that's less of a art form than the stuff I like.
Yeah, agreed. You
know? Yeah. And I think everyone we've had on the show has put product out at a reasonable price, you know. You know, you can't put a comic out that is clearly sort of 20 pages less and smaller and not colour, you know, for, you know, twice the price of, you know, that comic should be. You know, yeah. It's just obvious. Mm. It just sits there. And occasionally, very occasionally, it just strikes me as I won't buy something no matter how good it is because that just looks a bit greedy to me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's creeping in a bit at the moment. I'm seeing that more and more. I think maybe in London, because there is that scene here, you know, there's a scene of people who will buy stuff that's sort of slightly overpriced or a lot overpriced sometimes, you know. But yeah, it's interesting. It's just something, certainly not Adult Magazine. It was a great price, proper price for it, you know, and it's a nice little anthology and I really enjoyed it. But yeah, it's just sometimes I was looking at the shelves in a shop the other day, not in Orbital, in another one, thinking that's too much, you know. But yeah, so I just thought I'd mention it. But anyway, it's Adult Magazine, four-part anthology, four different stories, all really, really good. If I had to choose one, it would probably be Dave Aliza's one, which was absolutely beautifully, beautifully drawn. Yeah, so you can get it at Orbital or at leadache.bigcartel.com. There you go.
Nice.
Nice, cool.
Wonderful. Dan, what about you?
Really done my podcast thing, but I started asking around a couple of people at work who kind of read comics, have you got anything for a Halloween one? And my friend Miran brought in the Lovecraft anthology, strangely enough. So as I was kind of like playing through the podcasts, I kind of read through this. The art in it is really good in places, not so much in other places. I feel as a comic, Lovecraft stuff doesn't really work very well because it's all based on kind of his text and the descriptions. And when he's describing like an indescribable beast, and then you got to try and draw that.
Yeah,
you're kind of losing some of the magic of kind of you're trying to look see what someone's imagination is of something that can't be imagined.
I mean, I think there are ways you can do it. I think I agree with you. It's a lot of that literature comes from the stuff that your brain is trying to imagine. It's you're not given a physical, which is why it probably doesn't work in movies so much. But I know Ian J. Colbard, like he's done a lot of Lovecraft work, and he's got a nice style of getting around that. He doesn't show, you know, it's not showing you. Do you know what I mean? I think if you're going to deal with Lovecraft sort of stuff, it's got to be atmosphere rather than the big glossy showing you what it all is.
I mean, there's a couple in there. The Colour Out of Space is illustrated by Mark Stafford, and that's absolutely spot on. His artwork is brilliant. He's kind of, I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but essentially this comet lands in this family's well, and it's just draining the life out of everything around.
Yeah.
And this family become like all grey and husk-like, and it's pretty horrific in the book.
It's a great story, that.
Yeah, it's a really, really good one. But I'd say a bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
But it's the Lovecraft Anthology Volume 1. It's published by...
Is that Self-Made Hero?
That's the one.
Hey. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, I know stuff. Amazing. There
you go. You do.
See, this shows I should read Lovecraft, to be honest with you, because I'll admit now, you know, I've never actually read a single piece of Lovecraft.
It's all
free. Have you ever read any Robert E. Howard? Rob,
Do you know what? No, I haven't. Again, I'll add it to the list. I'll have to sit there and add it to the list.
Because allegedly there's a story that's written by Lovecraft that is credited to Robert E. Howard. I think they sort of swapped stories at one point. So you might have read some by accident, if you see what I mean.
No, it's strange you say that, because I would have thought with The Prophets of Doom, that is very Lovecraft inspired.
Yeah. That's, to be honest with you, with regards to Prophets of Doom, I think that's my end. Anyway, that's more Terry Pratchett inspired.
Okay, right, okay. Ah. Yeah, that definitely comes across. Yeah.
I'm a massive Terry Pratchett fan. I love Terry Pratchett. And I mean, like, I think from the other side of it, that's probably Mike Smith with his art and stuff like that. You know, I just kind of wrote great big horrible demon beastie, and he just went for it. Spectacular monster, you know what I mean, and stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously from there we've kind of got bigger and a bit more crazy, and each strip with regards to Prophets of Doom is building up to something. It's the only one, to be honest with you, that I've got fully structured. I know exactly how it's ending. I know, you know, it's I've written the last panel of it, and it's going to be like 10, you're going to have 10 strips of it, you know, and admittedly we're going to play about length. We're getting to the point where number 4 I think is 12 pages long, you know, and we'd love to collect it eventually as one big book, you know, which would be great. But yeah, like I say, I think that's probably much more Mike Smith. I mean, I try to write really collaboratively. I mean, Dan's done a strip which is appearing in Paper Cuts Free, and I try not to be too descriptive in my panel descriptions. You know what I mean? Because it's about the artist bringing like their
their skills and imagination.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Go on, you ask Dan. I'm only joking, bud. I love you.
He's done. He's done a crash. You know what I mean? I'm really excited for people to read the one that he and I have done together because it's... I thought it was really clever. It might not be, you know what I mean? From my side of things, you know, this is really lazily done. What a bastard, you know. But Dan, it looks beautiful because it does look beautiful. It's really
it's a real challenge. You can't. It's hard to talk about it without without going into the premise a bit. Yeah. But when it comes out, I'm sure we can have a.
Oh, we'll talk about it.
Expose.
That's it. Yeah, you know. But yeah, I do need to read more Lovecraft, definitely.
I think it's a difficult one to start with. I think some of his stories are quite hard to get into. So, yeah, I started with things like Pickman's Model and Shadow Over Innsmouth.
Yeah, definitely go for Shadow Over Innsmouth first.
Yeah, that's my favourite one. That's amazing.
I think you can get them free to download on podcast. They're all,
they're pretty much because I think they're all royalty free. Copyright free. So
that then. I've started listening to a lot more podcasts anyway, to be honest with you. I mean, you were mentioning earlier about some podcasts. I've started listening to Lore, which is incredible, over the last couple of days. It's all about myth and folklore and all these kind of things.
Oh, did you post about that the other day?
I was walking to work last night. Like I said before we came on air, I've been on a waking night last night. I'm running about 3 hours sleep. And I was walking to work and listening to this one about these guys ending up being buried in this mine. I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, there's just this black dog next to me. It's out of nowhere. I'm like, ah, shit. And started coming to work. You know, but really creepy. You know what I mean? You're listening to them, and they're really well put together. You know, and it's just interesting.
Like, so it's nothing like this show, then.
Yeah, it's fucking like this.
Yeah. I'll be pretty creepy.
Yeah. Anyway. As for what I've been reading this week.
Back to Vince. Back to the Vince show. Here we go.
So yeah, the Vince show. It's all about me. It's all about me. this week, I managed to read a couple of comics while I was drinking Lemsip and feeling sorry for myself. And one of the comics I managed to read was called Exit Generation, which was written by Sam Reed, art by, now, apologies if I ruin this name, Seau Oliveira. Is the name. Colours, Ruth Redmond, and letters by Colin Bell. Now, Sam is a listener of the show.
Hey.
And he sent this in a little while ago, and obviously we get sent a lot, so it's, you know, just trying to get through it. And basically what it is, this is the short script for you. It's following a gang of misfits trying to rescue their family from a bunch of hungry aliens. Sounds pretty sort of straightforward, but it's so much more than that. I was so pleasantly... Well, I was sort of blown away. It was also a comic that I saw online before I got this, before he sent it through. I kept seeing it, like people were doing previews of it, and I thought this looks like a sort of comic book that I'd be interested in getting. So I wanted to get it anyway. And then Sam got in touch, and I thought, oh, this is amazing. So I got straight on it, and basically it's set in the future. It starts off Earth 2025. Now the Earth is overpopulated. There's a world food crisis. Which creates riots, and basically the world's gone to hell. And all the governments get together and just decide to come up with these arcs, like they're called the Exit Project, where they're creating these giant spaceships to get the population of the Earth, well, most of them, onto the spaceships, out into space to find somewhere better to live, and basically the world can get back to some kind of normal. So that happens. A lot of people are picked out for the project, and they all go into space. About 7 months later, something goes wrong with all the oxygen supplies in all of the spaceships, and everyone on all those spaceships dies. Yeah. So the story is set on Earth, like 20 years after that, and it's following one of the guys that was in the spaceship. He went up and he left his sort of pregnant wife at home, and she's had a child at the same time, like one of her best friends. This Muslim family, they have these two kids at exactly the same time. So it picks up 20 years later, and it's these two guys that are essentially like brothers. And it's just so well done. That the characterization's perfect. The setting of the story, it is like a modern world, but it's a world where everyone has everything because there's no need for money. You know, the world's pretty much empty. You know, if all it's Jack's Jack's one of the main guys. It's his 20th birthday. And all these gifts, you see one pan away, he's got all these gifts, like he's got CDs and he's got DVDs of like the Expendables and
Hard... Yeah, the Expendables, isn't it? Yeah, I loved that. Yeah.
And Hard Boiled, so that immediately got my attention because that's one of my favourite films ever. But they didn't have to pay for these things. They just had to sort of find them because no one has any need for these things. There's all these houses that have got all of this stuff, but there's no one there, you know, because everyone left and went into space. There's Jack and his friend and like... That would be story enough, like how people live in this world after all of this has happened. But no, that's just the setup for this story. Because about 18 pages in, alien spaceships come to Earth. And they visit and they come out and they're sort of like big sort of lizard-like aliens. And they talk like... The first thing they say is, "Delectable greetings, people of Earth. We come in scrumptious peace." And everything that they're saying is, "As tasty fortune would have it, we found this flavoursome planet of yours and your succulent selves." And I think you know kind of where this is going, yeah, based on what he's saying. So they pretend to be nice at first and then they just think, screw it. And they basically kidnap a lot of the people that are in the vicinity when they land and take them in their spaceship. And they're going to be used as ingredients for whatever they're going to do to them. They're going to eat all these human beings. And Jack and his friend, what's his friend's name? Is it Brian, I think? I can't remember. Yeah. Those two have to band together to somehow get back into space and get their family back. You have to read this, people, because A, it looked beautiful. It's a beautiful
It's
looking.
Great art, isn't it? Really, really fresh. Yeah. I mean, the art to me is like it could be straight out of an Image comic.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. This, right, to me is like a brand new Image comic that Image haven't printed.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, the look of it is polished. The writing is spot on. You know, just everything from the lettering all the way through. I was so impressed with this. So much so that, you know, I'm on for the ride. Because it's got this nice... If you just said it just like that, it was aliens come to Earth to eat human beings and some guys have to try and stop them in a sort of like weird post-apocalyptic world. That sounds like a straight to DVD sort of like one of those classic, 80s VHSs.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's tailor made for like people like us, but they've layered in like character, emotion, you know, the brilliant setup of the Earth basically being just...
Yeah, to me, there's a twist, though, because I'm not sure what comes first. Because, you know, they're in space, aren't they? And the people who go out into space, I don't want to ruin it, spoilers coming up, but they don't survive, do they? Or the indication is that their oxygen is going to run out.
Yeah.
Now, you can't tell whether it was actually a fake sort of mission to send them in space just to kill off sort of, you know, 3/4 of the population.
It's interesting you say that, because I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
I just...
Or, because after that, it says, oh, you know, we've lost contact with the spaceship. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Almost like it's on a timer. Or is it they've said they've lost touch with the spaceship because they know they've died, you know? So there's sort of duality to it. And you don't see them die, do you, I don't think?
No. It just sort of says they've got like 7 hours of oxygen left and you see this nice sort of... It's the father of Jack and you see it on Earth like his wife.
Because she didn't go with him, did she?
Yeah, she didn't go with him. He was picked, but she wasn't and he chose to go. And then it cuts to this brilliant panel. It starts off, you have like this Times Square panel and it's rammed, you know, there's traffic, there's people everywhere. And like 8 pages later, you have exactly the same scene and there's only a couple of cars and a couple of people. It looks like just empty. I love that kind of like dramatization in a book. You know, it says everything. It says in one panel, there's no speech bubbles, there's nothing. Apart from a sort of banner that says, "The Ark is now beyond communication range. Good luck to our brothers and sisters." You know,
yeah, which I'm not sure what the score is with that. I've got a feeling there might be some people still alive. That's what I'm going to guess.
Interesting. I look forward to reading more of this and finding out if you're right.
Yeah. Is there a second issue out yet? Do you know?
No, it was released September the 23rd. So it has just come out. It's available.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I've seen adverts for it for a while.
Yeah, you can get it on Comixology. That's what I mean. Right. I think there's a lot of promo going up to it. You can get it on Comixology.
I was going to say, it's actually, this is where you see an indie creator who's gone on to kind of leapfrog his way up. Because I actually reviewed Exit Generation 2 years ago. It was originally released, self-published by
Oh, okay.
and it's been picked up by Comics Tribe, which is brilliant, you know. And I
just better say Comics Tribe released it.
I met Sam two years ago at Thought Bubble, picked up the first issue. I reviewed it before, obviously, Thought Bubble 2 years ago, back when I used to write for intercomics.com about stuff, and I did like a little indie spotlight then. And okay. You know, it's
interesting.
He's worked really, really hard. He did Sam did a one shot for Comics Tribe called Find, which
I've heard about that one.
Good, really good, really well put together. And obviously, I'm assuming based off the strength of that, they've gone and said, well, Exit Generation, I believe, is four parts. I've seen there's like big, all interconnecting covers and all sorts for that they've done for this new release.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I think it's absolutely brilliant the way he's gone through himself publishing to the point where obviously it's now Diamond distributed. It's in previews. You know what I mean? Release everywhere, you know, and that's the brilliance.
I mean, from the quality of this, quality of this writing, I think he's definitely going to be someone to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I read the first issue, and thought I really need to see the second one.
Yeah, and it's good to know that there's it's not like there's going to be a fantastic first issue and then you're waiting like months and months down the line. You know, if anything, Rob, you've done the best thing to let me know that. Yeah, I'm going to be able to check this out regularly.
It carries on. I do believe, like say, the quality's there. For the rest of them, you know what I mean? He's done a fantastic job. And obviously, you mentioned Colin Bell lettering, and Colin is fantastic. He's a brilliant letterer. He kind of taught me the basics to get started, to be honest with you. Because, little nugget, I actually lettered one of Sam Reed's shorts for a Greyhaven comics anthology short that he did. I'm not sure when it's out, if I'm honest with you. But I lettered it up, a little six-page piece that he wrote.
Nice.
Okay,
cool. So it's, 6 degrees of separation there. It's
cool. So, it's like that in our world, I think, sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, definitely.
I think it's pretty fantastic, like I say. You know,
yeah, no, I loved it. I read it. Vince sent it to me today, and I really loved it, I have to say. Really nice. I'm desperate to see the second issue, so come on.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Calm down, Tony.
Sorry.
No, but I think it's definitely one to watch. Like I say, it's out on Comixology now, like Robin said. In the US, Comics Tribe, I think, are putting it into stores, so there are ways to get it, and you should get it because it's a great,
cool,
especially if you like sci-fi schlock sort of stories like we do, but with a bit of heart. But cool. Fantastic. Nice. Exit Generation, definitely check it out. It's well worth checking out. Anyway, we've waffled on enough. Rob, what have you been reading, my friend? Well,
I've got a couple of things, to be honest with you. I've reread something, if I'm honest with you, because my work has been horrible, to be honest with you. I'm saying that a lot, apparently, as well. But my work's been horrible. I work stupid hours. So I sat there and reread the absolutely brilliant Sex Castle by Carl Starks. I don't know if you guys have read it or not.
No, I haven't.
It sounds like the name that Tony gives his house.
Oh, yep. My God.
Sex Towers.
If you... Honestly, you are in for a treat. It's a full graphic novel released through Image. I do believe it was a Kickstarter, and it was fully funded, and an Image have obviously picked it up for distribution. And it is basically the greatest 80s action film in a comic. You know, the main character, he's the former world's greatest assassin. Right, and he's been in prison, and he's best friends with like the president of America, and he comes out of prison, and he just wants to lead a normal life, you know, and he starts like flower arranging, I think it is, but he's in this small town, and there's this guy who is completely crooked running this small town. He just won't leave. It's like a protection racket, and he just won't leave this the flower arranging shop alone. So he goes all out. There's ultra violent, you know what I mean, full of swear. It's amazing, honestly. If you haven't read it, you should do, because it is probably the funniest book I think I've ever read, you know what I mean, comic wise it's incredible, you know, really is. It's really simplistic in like its art style. I mean, your main character, Mr. Sexcast, he looks like Kurt Russell with an eye patch, very Snake Plissken, you know what I mean? And
That's always good.
It gets me excited talking about it, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, I picked it up actually from Intercomics a while back. I don't know if you've heard of intercomics.com.
Yeah,
Well, he's got his own bricks and mortar store now in Huddersfield, which is brilliant. I went down there. He recommended it to me. It is brilliant. I really couldn't recommend it more.
Look at that.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Fraction's a big fan of it and recommends it. And yeah, like I say, that's really one to read. And then the other one is actually an indie one that I want to go on about. It's called Monkey Squad 1. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Monkey Squad 1.
No, it sounds like we should have.
It's brilliant. Monkey Squad 1 is done by a guy called Doug Michael. And he's just like a one-man machine. It's up to, I think, issue 14. And I was really lucky. He just put something out on Twitter going, just holler at me if you want a copy. And I just thought, I'll do that. Holler, you know, hello, you know. And he decided to just post me out like every issue, you know, from America. And
nice.
He's the man's a legend. He does like little 10-minute sketches on Twitter, and you just throw stuff at him like, I don't know, Thor dancing with Hawkeye while Spider Jerusalem looks like he's peeing in a toilet, you know, all this kind of crazy shit going on, you know. And he'll just draw him just quick 10-minute sketches. And basically the whole like premise of Monkey Squad 1 is you're following like these three kids who are recruited to the secret government task force, led by a guy called Uncle Doug. And Uncle's an acronym, and I can't remember what for at the moment, if I'm honest with you. But they go on like these absolute mental adventures. They're fighting supervillains, kitten-controlled dinosaurs, which is just perfect. You know, they go through the multiverse and fight this group called the Fake Future Jerk Squad. You know, it's proper old school kind of Saturday morning cartoon comics. It really is good. I mean, he funded them through Kickstarter, and it's got a real kind of punk rock ethic to them. I mean, I've seen like photos of him back like in the 90s where he sat there hand stitching comics together, you know, and this kind of stuff. And I mean, they're all black and white. I think he prints them himself, to be honest with you. He does everything himself. And I mean, like, from my point of view, you sit there, and I absolutely love lettering.
Yeah.
You kind of say everything's hand lettered.
If you letter, you kind of have to love lettering, don't you, really? Yeah. Otherwise, it could be a right chore.
Yeah. I'm sat here looking at it. It's like it's hand lettering, and it's great. You know, his sound effects are brilliant. You know, and he's sat there and done that himself, you know, by hand, not like me who sits there cheating using Illustrator, you know, and everything else. You know, the time and effort that obviously goes into making each of these comics is just, it's just brilliant. You know, and I cannot recommend them more. I think you can read a load of them for free, I do believe, at monkeysquad1.com. And he's also on the Twitter, at Monkey Squad 1. You know, it's got a very adult kind of swim look to everything. You know, that kind of stuff. Rick and Morty, you know.
Nice.
That kind of stuff. Well worth checking out. I couldn't recommend him more.
Nice.
Oh, check that out. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
They both sound great.
Blimey, we've got loads to read now. Even more. Anyway, right, thank you very much for those, Rob. Now, let's get on to the task at hand.
Oh, God.
Prepare yourself! Normally, I ask someone to like pitch us their comic or the, you know, whatever they're doing, but as you're one of the brain syndicate of Madius Comics, I'm just going to say this. Madius Comics, tell us all about it and how it came to be and what you want to achieve from it. Go.
So, Madius Comics are a collective of artists and writers whose sole aim is to entertain you. You know, and we make weird and wonderful comics, which are kind of full of heart, laughs, and the occasional dick and fart joke. You know, and obviously we're really proud to make these comics. We're trying to fly the flag for British comics. We've got like 2000 AD in our sights. We're going, yes, we're gunning for you. You know what I mean? And we're really proud to state, we're a bit big headed. We decided by collective that our little tagline should just be, we are comics. You know, because if you're going to aim high, if you're going to do it, aim high.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've kind of gone for that. And it was initially something that me and a gent called Brad Holman were knocking about. Brad's doing the art on a comic called Average Joe, which has been a while in the making. It is coming, and it's coming out at Nottingham Comic Con, actually, in October, which is good. I mean, Brad's really excited to get it out there. It's something me and a gent called Leon McKenzie have co-written together. And there's a lot of people saying that there's a lot of similarities between the main character and me, which really doesn't help matters. It looks like an absolute ego trip, but you know, it was initially something Brad and I were knocking about, saying that we should just have like a kind of brand, you know, obviously how I think isn't yours Raw Edge Comics, if I do,
yeah.
You know, and that kind of stuff, you know, just something there. And then I remember meeting Nick Gonzo, which was, oh, that was a scary day.
I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, gosh. I interviewed, again, when I used to write for Intercomics, I interviewed Stu Perrins, who did a bunch of comics with Nick called Harvey Spig. And there were a few different Harvey Spig titles and stuff. And Nick kind of jumped on my Twitter going, why does nobody ever speak to the artist? It's always the writer. Why does nobody ever speak to the artist? And I kind of sat there going, do you know what? You're right.
You hear that a lot. Yeah.
And the fact is, at that time as well, I was really lucky. I saw Derek Robertson saying something very similar. And then got speaking to Derek Robertson, ended up interviewing him for Intercomics. Brilliant. He's a lovely bloke, you know. Mm. And that was really interesting. But he had a point. And since then, we got chatting. We found out we live relatively close to one another. We've been out for a few drinks and stuff. And started planning, like, a couple of comics. And then Nick's like, I mentioned Madius to him. And he was like, oh, that's a good idea, you know. Why don't we do it? And then whilst all this was going on, in tandem to that, I was working with Mike Sambrook on writing some stuff. We were developing a comic which was initially called Grim. You know, that tells you something about the tone. that since had a name change and stuff, and that went through a couple of artists, you know, in the initial kind of development stage. We've got an artist now called the PXD who's working on that, you know. And
lovely bloke. I met him at ICE, and he gave me a picture of the Red Mouse that he drew, so I just want to give a shout out to him. Well, he's ace.
He is ace. He's actually done a pin-up in Nick Gonzo's Funk Soul Samurai, which is coming out at Nothing. Nice. You know, and I do believe you've done one as well, Vince.
I can neither confirm nor deny, but yes. Okay,
that's fine. You know, but like I say, Mike and I were talking about this, and I said to him, you know, come on board. You and I sit down. We kind of write all these crazy scripts together. Let's all stick our heads together and create this kind of weird, mad-capped little, like, publishing group, effectively, where we've kind of got, it's almost a brand, you know, and we do weird comics. I mean, anyone who's read Paper Cuts and Inkstains will know it's weird, you know. Anyone who's read Nick Gonzo's 50 Signal will know it's a bit weird, you know. I sat there and badgered him and told him to release that, you know, because he sat there with it in his sketchbook, and I read it. One day, sat in a Weatherspoons pub with him, drinking, you know, Brewdog, and they were there going, oh, you should release this comic, you know. And Richard Bruton from Forbidden Planet is absolutely lords over this comic. He's like, it's brilliant. It's going to end up on my top 10 comics of the year list, you know. And that's Nick's 50
that's
Signal.
Great.
It's great, mm-hmm. You know. It's brilliant. And
I really enjoyed 50 Signal.
Yeah,
it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you know, and he's done such a brilliant job on that. And we've kind of clubbed together. He did a short in Paper Cuts one with me, did Nick, called No. It was initially called Clean Up on Aisle 73, but nobody ever noticed the titles at the end. They just called it No. So we just rolled with it. We just decided to change the name. and stuff. And so, yeah, like I say, we make all these weird little comics, and we just thought it'd be great to kind of stick together. And now, I mean, like, I was totally up the other day. We're working with, like, 25 different creators, artists, writers, you know what I mean, all together. Things like Paper Cuts and Ink Stains, there's Ramlock Investigates, which is our anthropomorphic kind of all-ages comic, which is a bit goofy and a bit nutty, you know, and then there's...
That's quality, that one. I enjoyed that.
Do you like that? That's
yeah.
Cool.
If you like Sherlock and Ghosts...
Yeah,
and goats.
Yeah. If you like your goats, that's definitely the one to check
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
You know, that's coming out again at Nottingham Comic Con. We're getting all geared up for that. We've got, by the time we get to Fort Bubble, we're going to have 10 comics available through Madius, and that's since February, you know, and
that's really good.
That's absolutely mental. Yeah. I mean, I sat there and I was setting up the InDesign file for Paper Cuts 3 the other day, and we decided, because we're releasing it at Thought Bubble, and you know, it's been a pretty crazy year to kind of get it all together, we're just going to go big or go home, you know. And we've got a 56 page comic on our hands. It's massive. We've got some absolutely awesome stories, and like I say, we're working with some the artists we're working with every one of them is going to kind of blow up. I know they will soon. Not in a nuclear bomb kind of way. I mean, episode one, Rob Jones, nuclear bomb of comics. Devastation and death in his wake. But, you know, it's more a case of, obviously, they're brilliant. You know, I sit down sometimes and think about all the guys we're working with and just go, Jesus Christ, how do we do that?
You know, you're working with him.
Yeah. You know, it's, there you go. Bloody hell.
But I'll sing your praises, Rob. You've got an award from the Outhouses, the Outhouse Comics.
I was in that, yeah. They put me in like 50 indie creators to watch out for.
Yeah, that's great.
That was amazing. You know, I was kind of sat there going, wow, bloody hell. You know, that's brilliant. And then I'm part of this group on Facebook called Ashcan, which I think stands for Alternative Showcase Hub Comics Animation, and I can't remember what the N's for. Which
Christ, I'm in that. I didn't know what it stood for at all.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, me neither.
They did some awards, and they awarded me Best Letterer 2015.
Oh, nice one.
That's ace. You know, I'm self-taught with regards to lettering. I haven't done any courses. I've just kind of read Richard Starkings' Comicraft book. You know, sat there reading this, going through it, going, oh, right, yeah. Oh, it does look good if they look in a bubble. You know what I mean? And they're in a, you know, rather than higgledy-piggledy all across the page and stuff. And I just kind of learnt myself to letter stuff and to sit there. And, like, I was up against people like Taylor Esposito, who is, like, DC Comics' a go-to guy for lettering and stuff. And I was up against, like, is it Nick J? I want to say Nick J. Klein. It might not be Nick J. Klein. It's Nick J. Shaw, sorry, who lettered Merrick.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant letter. You know, all the letters I was up against were absolutely amazing. Just sat there, like, some nobody from Yorkshire comes in and pops them. You know, hey up, son. thank you. And I'll doff my flat cap at you and run off.
We mentioned it earlier, like, production-wise, trying to keep all those kind of batons juggling things in the air must be really tricky. I mean,
I've got a lot more grey hair than I used to.
This also means, like, badgering creatives and artists, which I can imagine is a massive pain in the ass.
Well, I try not to badger people. I mean, you know yourself, Dan, I don't like to put deadlines on things.
No.
I think the fact is we all work. You know what I mean? Everybody in the indie comics kind of scene, they work a full-time job, they'll have a family, they'll have other commitments. I don't like the idea of people having a deadline and going, I'll give you this, it's an 8-page story, can you do it by then? No. I mean, like, the fact is, we're prolific enough between, like, myself and Mike Sandbrook, and now Nick Gonzo's got a short that he's written that's going to be in Paper Cuts and Inkstains 3, and that's being drawn by a guy called Brian Burke, who's brilliant artist. You know,
I'll say personally, I like being given a deadline so I can kind of work in what needs to be done when, because it's not always the case, but if someone says, oh, just do it when you can, that usually goes to the near the back of the pile, because everything else has got, like, a time sensitive nature. Yeah. I don't know if any of the other guys have got that, but generally I'm quite disciplined work wise to kind of keep it all kind of trundling along, blah blah blah.
Well, I mean,
I kind of like to get on with it. Sometimes you sit, I don't know if you're like this, Rob, but sometimes when it sits there, it almost plays on your mind too much, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
You don't want it hanging over you. It's like to get it done and cleared and.
Yeah.
Well, I get that. You know, I mean, it can be really stressful, to be honest with you. When you sat there, like, we're doing this one called Horror, which I sent you guys, like, half of it.
Yeah.
There's half of it I've still got to letter. I'm waiting on the pages back from, or the finished pages from two of the other artists. And that, with them kind of sat there like that, and, you know, we know we want that out for Thought Bubble, and I don't want to chase people. Alistair Wood, one of the guys doing art for that, and one of the one of the masterminds behind it, we sit there and we talk, and, like, we're saying we don't want to chase people because, you know, again, like I said, they've got lives. Things like that. It is a very difficult balance. I mean, I suppose it's the bonus of doing shorter stuff.
With that in mind, though, because I know you want that one out in time for Thought Bubble.
Yeah.
But you'll obviously have a lot of other stock anyway. But when it comes to Thought Bubble, I know this from last year, from what I heard, the amount of people that were waiting on books.
Because
everyone wants something for Thought Bubble. I mean, I myself were waiting on, like, the Stalkerville books and, like, some reprints of the Red Mask and stuff. Do you have all that lined up? Even though you haven't given these people deadlines, is there a line in your head that you just think, if I don't make this date, then it's just not going to be available for Thought Bubble.
Well, this is the beauty of the printer we work with. We've got quite a new printer that we work with, a guy called Jay Martin, and his printing company is called CAF Printing. And we've been working with him. We've been helping him set up files and everything to use. So his printing speed can just, it's super, super fast, which is fantastic. And so obviously we can run it right down to the wire. You know, we've done that a couple of times.
Yeah.
But we finished The King's Leap, which is coming out at Thought Bubble about a month ago. And that is being printed now. So I've got the stock coming in for that ready, you know, and, and like I say, with regards to collecting other stuff for it, like I say, fact is, with having 10 finished comics ready for by the time we get to Thought Bubble, we're going to have a lot of stuff for people to come and look at and choose.
Yeah.
So if we don't quite make it with some of them, I mean, again, with Paper Cuts and Ink Stains, if a story doesn't perhaps finish in time for number 3, we can drop it and bob it into number 4, and it could be the lead story in number 4. You know, it's very fluid because we've got a lot Sorry, go on.
Mate, sorry. No, go on, mate, yeah.
No, because we've got, like I say, me and Mike Sandbrook are quite prolific with the stories we write and things like that, you know. So we're always sat there. I'll be sat on my iPad at home, you know what I mean, going, looking at, yeah. You know, porn, Den of Geek, porn. Oh, I've had an idea for a sexy geek story, you know what I mean. I sat there, and the beauty of things like Google Docs, you know what I mean, and Google Drive, you sit there, yeah. You fire up this document. You can instantly share it with Mike, who can then come online straight away. You know what I mean? And we're sat there and we're just both filling it in at the same time. And it's great because you kind of both edit each other's work as you're going along. You know, it's the beauty of collaborative writing.
Mm.
And then like I said to you, Dan, before, when we've been discussing building up stories and stuff, the thing I like the most is the collaborative nature of comics. The fact that we can write a 10-page script, you know, and we can sit there and we can make sure that the dialogue's this and that and the other. When it comes to imagery, you know, and the artist bringing their own kind of flair and stuff to it, that's what we want. We really like to try and promote the artwork, you know what I mean?
Because that's essentially what happened when we did. We had to kind of the way the story's told, it's very rigid, the kind of the panel structure.
Yeah.
So we had to kind of revise it, and then when it got sent back to you, you retooled the lettering.
Yeah.
So it's very much on the fly, and it works well. So
yeah.
I'd say of all the conventions, I think that everyone works to, it's definitely Thought Bubble seems to be the one in the UK at the moment,
yeah.
Especially in the small press scene. I don't know. I mean, the week before Thought Bubble last year, I got I wrote 2 previews a day. Mm. You know, it was full on. Non-stop, because people had so much product to release at that. And I think it is also the best one to release a book at still, even though there is a sort of oversaturation to a point of new books coming out. But it's also the one you can easily get the artists in, because we're sort of, there's a lot of people sort of mill about, and there's a lot of artists who cross-pollinate across, you know, little companies. You can get signings and stuff done at your own personal table, you know.
Yeah. Well, this is the really cool thing, because Mike Smith, who does Prophets of Doom, he's at Thought Bubble on a Saturday, so he's going to bob over and he's going to do some little sketches and things. Paul Moore, who's doing a story in number 3, he's at Thought Bubble all weekend. He's going to come over. He's going to come chill with us. His story's great. It's a vampire story. I've been sharing little snippets of that on Twitter, and I did a little periscope of me lettering up a couple of pages and stuff a couple of nights ago.
You mentioned Paul last week, actually. Paul wrote in with his influences. Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool.
Paul's brilliant, and I'm very lucky to be working with him. I'm lettering a story that he's done, actually, and that's going out through Amigo Comics, which is great, you know what I mean? Big stuff, and, you know, it's really cool. And there's a young lady we're working with, Rosie Packwood, who's doing a story in number 3, and again, I'm lettering something up. She's colouring, you know what I mean? And it's strange. We're all kind of meeting up together, you know what I mean, and we're all working on these different projects and stuff.
Plus, it's nice and local for you, dude, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I live just down the M62 from Leeds, so it's fine by me. I can go home with a sword, and, you know, kind of fall onto the train into Leeds. There's one train from the village I live in. I live in a village. There's one train out at 7:30 in the morning, which will get me to Leeds for about 8-ish. I'll have a Wetherspoons breakfast, and then I'll be there.
What is it with you and Wetherspoons?
I used to run a kitchen for Wetherspoons, and I know, they're cheap, and I'm a cheap man. I'm a cheap man. They do cheap beer and cheap breakfast. That's fine by me. That's my heart. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, like I say, Leeds is great for me. And then for Madius itself, I mean, Nottingham is our inaugural convention. You know, we're really excited for that. I've been to a couple of conventions as, you know, a consumer, as someone to go and have a look around and buy stuff and that. But Nottingham Comic Con is our first one as exhibitors. You know, and we've only got two this year. We've got Nottingham, we've got Thought Bubble. But we're really looking, we want to kind of test run some things. You know what I mean? We're going in. We want to make ourselves known. We're big and we're bright and we're orange. You know what I mean? With like the sign and stuff that we've got. And you're probably going to see me in a dressing gown, which would be fantastic. That's my office. I work in my dressing gown. I'm sat in it now. You know, it's how I roll. You know,
so you'd be cosplaying your own character.
Effectively cosplaying as me.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Very much. It will be towel day.
Meet Hugh Hefner.
I need a bubble pipe. You know what I mean. But yeah, like I said, we're road testing that, and then we're looking at obviously doing some. We want to do a fair few conventions next year. I mean, it's fitting it in around stuff.
Like I
told you guys before, and I'm on constant like baby watch at the moment. My wife is like 8 days away from our due date of us having a little baby Jones, you know, and that's terrifying and amazing at the same time. But it's all happening, and then like I said, we booked in these conventions, and obviously, if the baby's late, it's cutting it fine for and stuff. So it's crazy.
She'll be all right, mate. Just come to the convention.
It's fine.
Right. As long as you've got mobile reception, she'll be fine.
What good am I going to be in the delivery room? You know,
get her to FaceTime you. Sat
there lettering comics as she's there. Oh, darling, look at this font. You know, I'm gonna piss off. yeah, like I say, we're road testing stuff. These, I mean, it's a big convention to road test stuff. To be honest with you, Thought Bubble, that's a little bit. We've kind of gone into
Thought Bubble is a road test anyway. When you go, especially the first time you're there. I mean, I've only been to one, and that was last year. You know, that was a big learning.
Yeah, it's just messy, isn't it?
Yeah, every single one of these things is a learning process.
That's it, you know. And I mean, like, I suppose we're really lucky again as well because there's four of us. All four of us will be representing, you know, Madius whilst we're there. So we're all there. We've been really lucky for Thought Bubble. I remember you saying, like, I can't remember if it was on the last podcast about people getting really lucky to get half a table. We're really lucky. We've got a full table at Thought Bubble. You know, we've been really, really lucky. And with there being four of us, we can split off. Two can stay at the table. Two can go around and speak.
Yeah, that's the best thing. Well, yeah,
that's a good idea.
And also, if you want to step away from the table to buy some stuff yourself, you won't necessarily have a massive sand timer in your head playing. Which is one of the issues that I certainly have. I step away from my table and I'm constantly aware of I'm not on my table, you know.
Yeah.
And all the other people that help me, and, you know, whether it be my girlfriend or my friend Dan or Sean when he's table sharing, they're all fantastic. Yeah. They don't know.
Or Tony.
Well, I don't, or Dan, you know, whoever's there. But
we pretend to be you.
Oh, God, that'll explain a lot.
I'm desperately trying to make a sale. I wanted that. I wanted a sale at Red Mart.
Yeah, you did, didn't you? Yeah.
Didn't happen.
I turned a few down.
Well, I desperately want a sale. What do you mean you turned a few down?
Don't buy that book.
Yeah.
Buy that one.
Yeah. But the thing is that when it's your book and you step away from your table, they'll do whatever they can to sell it, but they don't know the book inside out like you do.
Well, this is it, you know, and again, that's why I'm really lucky to be able to, you know, I work with Mike, we co-write so much. I mean, like, he stepped in at the last minute and gave me the ending for Prophecy of Doom 1. I was agonizing over how to end it. I mean, like, when the idea came to me, I was just wandering home from the school run, and I was listening to Clutch, awesome rock band. I recommend everybody listen to Clutch. They are probably the best band I've ever seen live, and they've got a song, funnily enough, called Prophets of Doom, and loads of people give me stick for the way we spell Prophets of Doom, but the fact is, it will all become apparent, you know, we're spelling it like, obviously, profit, as in, like, cash in your pocket, because there is no profit to be made from Doom, You know what I mean? You're gonna see this as it goes along, and you know we've got some lovely little nods to things in later strips. You know, Mike Smith's just finished number three. He's jumping straight into number four and stuff. But yeah, I was walking home. I was listening to this song, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if you had a bunch of really really crap cultists? We're there, they're trying to bring forth the end of the world, and they're arguing over Ryoka, they're arguing over where they get their ingredients from, are we getting them from Holland and Barrett, are we getting them from Waitrose, you know, all this kind of stuff, you know, and that's where the idea came from, and that was good, and Mike read it, and he was like, yeah, you know, he was like, this is really good, but what if this happened at the end? I was like, yeah, no, that's brilliant, that's great, they kind of sit there, all goes wrong, they bugger off, and then I'll say it, you know what I mean? Hashtag spoilers. But you know, this deer comes along at the end, and the big demon they summon thinks that's its boss. And then from there, we sat there and we listened to a lot of feedback we were getting from people saying they'd love to see more of that. You know, I spoke to Mike Smith, and he was like, he is down for doing them till the end of time. I think he loves them, you know, and he brings such brilliant characterization to them. It's very difficult for him because they've got no faces. You don't see the face.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all through body language. Yeah. And it's such a great job of being able to convey emotion and, you know, temperate and all that kind of stuff through just their body language. He does a great job. And I think people don't sing his praises enough with it. You know what I mean? They talk about like the interaction that all the guys have where they're just arguing with one another, because that is basically me and Mike Sandbrook anyway. That's what we sit there and do. Ah, shut up, you tit. You know, and we give each other grief, you know, but it's brilliant because it is basically just us. That's how we are, you know, and but it's Mike Smith that's the real hero of it, because he takes all this idiocy and makes it look fantastic. You know.
So basically, you're saying we should have invited him on the show.
Get Mike Smith on the show. He's more northern than I am. You know. I know. God, Jesus Christ. You know, but like, I sit there and like, I look at the artists again. Like I say, that we're working with, and they're brilliant. Like I say, there's Dan. I've got a list. I have to write them down because we're working with so many people. You know, and it's brilliant to see. Yeah, like I said, I mean, like, issue one, we're re-releasing. We've kind of repackaged it. I've tidied it up a bit, you know, tidied up a bit of the lettering and stuff. We've got a brand new story we're putting in there because for the conventions. It's like a four-pager, which is done by a guy called Stephen Weaver. And I got a bit of stick for Cast Adrift, the first one from number two, from Paper Cuts and Ink Stage 2, because the tone's different. It's not as wacky. And I mean, like, we want to play around with the tone anyway. We do.
Yeah, why? I mean, it's an anthology with different sorts of stories. Why are people giving you stick because one has a different sort of tone?
It was nasty. You know what I mean? It wasn't nasty. It's just the fact that I think people were a bit thrown by it. They've read number one, and number one was just goofy and weird, and you know what I mean? Like, no, with me and Nick Gonzo, there's a tank. That's a living tank. You know what I mean? There's the mounted moose brigade in that, you know what I mean? There is a remote controlled guided dolphin missile in you know, and that's Nick. That's Nick's imagination just being amazing.
But there. So you don't want to say like, this is what we do and that's it. Like, you want it to kind of be open, and sometimes there might be a real serious story in there, and other times there might not be.
Exactly. Like I said, it's all that fluidity. The fluidity of, we've got all these different kind of stuff. I've got a story that I've written. It's basically about Ian Dury and the Blockheads. You know what I mean? And that's coming up. But it's also a love story. And it's a love story about music. It's a love story about holding on to the things that make you, you know, and the things that you obsess over and love. It was a challenge to do, because I've done it in about 6 or 7 pages. And the guy doing the art for that, Dan Charlie, I think it is. He normally does Vikings and horror and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, I'm loving this, because it's completely different to anything I've ever done. Yeah. You know, and you know, that's cool. It's great when people get the artists get infused over the stuff that we've written. I think that's
and you've got to keep them like that as well. Sometimes I think, you know,
yeah,
really keep them going, keep a bit of continuity as well, haven't you? You know, especially for your sort of longer running stories.
Well, this is it. You know, like I said, we bring it. Mike Smith's added in ideas. There's something beautiful coming. in profits. There is something absolutely beautiful, and we're trying to figure out a way to do it. We want to make it so it might be a little bit gimmicky, but like fold out pages.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's done this absolutely amazing drawing, which has influenced the way the story goes. But we want that to be able to fold out, and you really get a sense of the scale of it. You know, and he's bringing all this stuff to it. I mean, we've been really lucky as well. We've got a PJ Holden.
Cool.
Okay.
Prophet's Doom, which is going to be available at Four Bubble. You know, he's done this. He's done this awesome pinup of the Prophets of Doom, and we're going to have that available and stuff. You know, and that's great.
What is it, sort of print, Rob? Or
yeah, it's a print. We're going to have that available as a print.
Yeah. Cool.
A3 and A4. You know, I see you were talking about. You were saying earlier, Vince, weren't you, about getting ready for all these conventions?
Yeah.
Or checking. Have I got this? Have I got that? Have I got the other? I sat there and I sent a like list to our printer yesterday, and I think he's probably a gibbering wreck today because can I have 15 of these, 20 of these, can I have this, and he sat there looking at it going, piss off, just stop sending me shit, why, you know. So
I say the print quality on issue one was excellent. I can tell that was the first time he'd ever printed a comic, but
yeah. That's again the post-production kind of stuff is down to Brad's putting everything together. He's got like years worth of experience in the print and design industry, and so getting stuff together, he's made it as easy as hell for us to do, you know. And that's really handy. We've been really lucky in that respect.
I mean, I was reading somewhere like the level of kind of professionalism and quality you're putting into the products, it really sells rather than just kind of being slapped together. But I haven't mentioned like a lot of people have upped their games. Like if you go around conventions,
yeah.
The
quality on offer is just like, it's not just A4 pieces of paper sellotape together or whatever. It's high quality.
I think the last 5 years, everyone has really taken a step up. Definitely, yeah.
You've got to, because...
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
The sheer amount of people now that... I mean, the fact is, it's been a digital revolution with regards to comics. I mean, we're a bit wary with digital, to be honest with you. I like to let the print ones do the talking, and then once we release the next print issue, then we release the previous one in digital, so it doesn't detract from like print issues, you know. And then we offer the digital one at a massively knocked down price, but we add loads of stuff to it. I mean, I interviewed you, didn't I? I gave you some interviews.
Yeah.
You know, we whack in interviews into the digital ones. We whack in pinups that the guys do, you know. And so when you buy the digital copy, you've got a whole heap of extras, you know. And what I've tried to do is collate people's email addresses as well when they buy the print one, and they get that sent out for free through the mailing list, you know, as a thank you for buying like the print copy. You'll get the digital one.
Nice one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, the fact is, it's a way of giving back. We couldn't do any of it without people obviously supporting us, buying it, reviewing the comic, like yourself, you know, Tony, you've reviewed both Paper Cuts and Ink Stains. And
I have, mate, yeah. No, I really liked them, yeah.
You know, and that's, we're really lucky in that respect to have backing and support and stuff. So we want to be able to give stuff back to people as well.
So
you know,
what titles we have available the next show? Is it Thought Bubble? We're going to have the 10?
We'll have 10 by Thought Bubble. We'll do Nottingham because we're releasing a couple at Nottingham.
What are you releasing at Nottingham? To be clear, which ones are you doing there?
Right, at Nottingham, you'll be able to get Funk Soul Samurai, which is by Nick, which has some pretty sexy pinups at the back.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, they are skirt razors, those pinups.
first time my work's been called that.
See, the thing, what you don't realise, Rob, is Dan is desperate for a pull quote. Just listen. Have a listen to what he says here. Here we go. Yeah,
and, you know, we've got that, and we've got Ramlock Investigates coming out.
Right, okay, cool. Yeah.
You know, we're releasing, and we've also got Average Joe coming out in Nottingham. So we've got three coming out there, you know, so they're Nottingham Comic Con exclusive. They'll be available there, and then we're going to have to make our big cartel bigger so we can stock more stuff when people want to buy them. And then for Thought Bubble, we're releasing The King's Leap, which is one that myself and Gareth Slatholm have done together. Gareth's a Hull-based artist whose work is just incredibly detailed.
Yeah, super detailed. It's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, you sent it to us, didn't you, for a look?
Did,
mate, lovely stuff. Really nice. Yeah,
it's great.
you sit there and look at his, you know, again, I can't believe how I lucked on to be working with him, you know, and like we chatted, he's initially, that was going to be a short in paper cuts, was the King's Leave. It was originally like a 7 to 9 page script. And then he was saying, well, maybe expand it to about 13 because you want to expand some of the action and stuff like that. And then I said, well, if we're going 13, we may as well go to a one shot. And it's the first like one shot we're releasing as Madius. And you've got a self-contained story. It's all about a group of Vikings. I love to describe it as like heavy metal distilled into a comic book because you've got like, or maybe prog rock. Prog rock in a comic book.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, a bit of Rick Wakeman on keyboard.
Do you have like 25 pages of just nonsensical scribbling in the middle?
No, like I say, I mean,
this
like,
is the solo.
The keyboard.
I went to see a gig recently. Mark Lemming made me go to a gig with him finally, talking to me. And we saw Transatlanticism. Have you ever heard of them, the prog band?
I haven't heard of Transatlanticism.
No, and they said, oh, well, now the last song, 45 minutes.
Well, listen, I am. Just going off topic a moment, I remember going to Download a few years ago and Dream Theater were on the bill and they only played 5 songs in their set, you know, because they had like an hour or so long set and they played 5 songs. Every song of theirs is at least 22 minutes, you know, and filled up with guitar solo here, keyboard solo there, someone playing the spoons, you know, it's brilliant. But like I said, going back to The King's Leap, it's wonderful Viking saga with like witches and warriors and Whitesnake effective, you know, all kind of jumbled together into this beautiful, beautiful comic, you know. And we're toying around with the idea of going back and coloring it because we do work in black and white a lot. We had a review recently saying, you know, they wished some of the stuff was in color, and that is something we're investigating, obviously, as a group of guys starting up our own effectively publishing house.
We've
had to think about costs a lot, you know, and
that affects in a lot more cost, doesn't it, color?
Well, this is it, but massively. Then obviously again we're the printer we're working with, Jason, he's brilliant, and like we're discussing like affordable color comics, you know, and obviously we're the stuff like with regards to paper cuts and ink stains and things like that, it's all come off my own back to get them printed, you know. I wouldn't expect anything else, you know, anything from the artists, you know what I mean, involved in getting it printed and stuff like that, you know. And like I say, the fact is, I take no money from it. You know,
everything all goes back into it.
It goes back to the artist's pockets. We unfortunately we have to kind of work on back end pay a lot.
Yeah.
So the way I want to make sure it sells, benefits the artist, sorry, is that obviously everything's split between them. Like I said, I use the lettering that I do to kind of finance that, you know, and I effectively work Madius as a non-profit kind of thing. Right. It's all for the artists because the artists, you know, pay your artists. This is the big thing. I mean, you've spoken about it before in like a couple of your shows. Artists deserve money for the time and effort they invest into things, you know. I mean, like Gareth, when he made The King's Leap, has taken him a good couple of months. But I mean, he was drawing it live in like some library events over in Hull. It's fantastic. Right. He's there live art. You know what I mean? I find that absolutely fascinating.
Cool.
Living in a village where there's just a post office, you know.
Go make your own entertainment.
Exactly. Well, you know what I mean?
There we go.
It's the baby coming along.
How many kids? You got like 30 kids, have you, Rob?
About 753, I think, was the last. You know, I mean, but like I say, you know, the fact is, pay your artists. You know, and
so at the moment you're the non-profit of them at the moment.
Oh, touche!
Oh, there we go. I'm getting that put on.
The fucking pool.
There's the pool quote he wanted. Oh dear. So, in order to pay these artists, Rob, what have you got available now, and where can people get it?
If you look for madiuscomic.bigcartel.com, you can go there and you can find. At the moment, unfortunately, Paper Cuts 1 is out of stock because we sold it all, which was really cool. To be honest with you, but Paper Cuts 1 all went, which was brilliant. You know, that's fantastic. However, I'm getting restocked with a brand new revamped you know, version of it with, like I said, with the extra story in. That's coming. Paper Cuts and Exchange 2 is available there. You can get 50 Signal there, which all profits go to Nick Gonzo and his horrendous alcohol addiction.
Hey!
You know, and then after Nottingham Comic Con, Ramlock and Funksoft Samurai and Average Joe will all be available on there. You know, we're not making them available beforehand. We want them to be, if people want them like first day, get to Nottingham Comic Con. You should be going there anyway because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
You know. Yeah. You can pick it up there, and then again with Thought Bubble. See, when we get to there, like I was getting to, like I said, we've got The King's Leap coming out then, Paper Cuts and Inkstains 3 will be coming out then. You'll be pleased to hear 50 Signal 2 will be coming out of Thought Bubble as well. And that's been really interesting, which we've kind of co-produced with some other guys called Horror, is going to be available at Thought Bubble. That's an interesting one. I'll get to that in a minute. But like I say, they'll be available then. And then after Thought Bubble, 50 Signal 2 and The King's Leap will be available online. But we're going to be doing a big kind of launch party up here in the north, you know, for Paper Cuts and Inkstains 3. You know, there's an awesome shop up in Hartlepool called Atomic Comics. And they've really been supportive of Paper Cuts and Inkstains. Like, they've really pushed it. We've sold a load through them. You know, they've stocked it, they've pushed it. Loads of their like faithful customers have been buying it. Same with Intercomics. Intercomics over in Huddersfield, loads of his faithful kind of people have been buying it, stuff like that, you know what I mean, his customers. Which is great, and we're looking at doing something at Intercomics for Free Comic Book Day next year, which is we're gonna be doing something there.
Cool. Yeah.
But like I said, we're gonna be doing a big launch thing for Paper Cuts and Inkstains Free up at Atomic Comics in Hartlepool. Mike Smith's going to be coming up with us, so we're looking at doing some exclusives while we're there of just a couple of, well, not a couple, but we'll get a few printed of, like, The Prophets of Doom into one comic book, you know what I mean, rather than just as Paper Cuts and Inkstains. They're mad for Prophets of Doom up in Hartlepool for some reason. They really they love that comic, you know. I mean, that's something that's taken us back as well. The amount of people that sit there and go, you know, ah, Prophets of Doom is like my favorite comic book this year. And you sat there going, what, in comparison to Spider-Man? Yeah, you know, all those kind of things. It really kind of throws you. It really knocks you about a bit. So, especially with the level of, like, indie stuff there is. I mean, like I say, you've had Tom Ward and Luke Parker's Merrick, which is, you know, a brilliant, absolutely amazing. You know, you've got Wart. You've got God, what else? There's just loads. You sit there, and
the small press scene has just fucking exploded in the last few years. So much great stuff out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Really is.
No, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, it's cool as well to sit there. Like I was saying earlier, with like regards to Sam Reed, how he's gone from self-publishing Exit Generation to it being picked up and actually republished by Comics Tribe, who did And Then Emily Was Gone, which is just incredible. John Lees and Ian Laurie, you know what I mean? And again, Colin Bell lettering, and then Colin Bell's own Dungeon Fun. Seeing him...
Yeah. Oh, that's one for you, Tony, Dungeon Fun. You love a bit of Dungeon Fun, don't you?
In my dungeon.
It's a difficult one to Google, that, you know what I mean? Don't Google it, search that one. Jesus.
I look funny. Clown porn the other day. That's all right.
You look for what?
Clown porn. Clown porn. Just...
Clown porn?
Yeah.
Did this show come up?
What was that other one? Blumpkins.
I don't know what that means.
I've not Googled that.
Don't Google that. Blumpkin, for God's sake. Don't Google Blumpkin. Oh, my God.
I'm certainly not putting that as a link in the show notes.
No. Definitely not. No. It's almost as bad as lemonparty.org.
God. Well, Rob, it's let's get back on the comics. I think it's brilliant the success you've had this year. What a segue.
Yeah. Lemonparty.org to success.
Indeed. Yeah. No, it's fantastic that you've really sort of forged forward and pushed all these comics out onto the world, onto the loving masses. So
like a nuke, you know.
Yes, like a radioactive phenom.
Yeah, we'd love to hear how you get on at the your respective conventions, and how kind of releasing so many books at the time will kind of...
We're not going to do it again. We're not going to do this many books, you know, at conventions again. We've kind of learned from this. We decided we'd set a goal and try and do it. Yeah. And you know, we're near enough on track. Like I say, it's brilliant to do. but I've got no home life. I think my wife wants to divorce me. You know what I mean? With regards to the amount of time I'm sat there hunched over a laptop going, I've got to just letter this page, darling.
You are. Is that how you talk when you letter? I thought it was just me that did that.
I got to turn a big golem.
Ah, yes. How do you spell kaboom?
You know, I mean, but like that's another side of things which is crazy, the lettering side of this. There's projects I'm not allowed to talk about because I've signed NDAs, you know what I mean? And it's so exciting.
Don't mention them on a podcast, then.
I can't mention specifics, but like to go from like about a year and a bit ago, not being able to letter at all and looking at, you know, looking at lettering stuff going, oh shit, what am I getting myself into? To people actively searching out for me to letter their stuff. That's awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
Letter is hard to find, I think. It's a thing, Rob. Do you know what I mean? Letter is, you know, worth their weight in gold, I think, a lot of the time.
You should write a song about that, Tony. That sounded quite good. Good letter is hard to find.
Oh, yes, definitely. I was thinking that as well, Vince.
Nice. What rhymes with Blumpkin? Is anything rhymes with that?
Oh, thank gods.
Pumpkin.
Yeah. Pumpkin, brilliant, excellent.
Jesus. We were doing so well. So yes, folks, you've heard it from the horse's mouth, not that you're a horse, Rob. But check out everything Maddie's comics have got coming, because there, as you can tell, there's shitloads.
There is loads. So much Maddie's, it's unreal. We can't contain it.
Oh my word!
Well, we're obviously going to see you at Nottingham End at Thought Bubble, aren't we, dude? So we'll see you there as well.
Which is a nice segue to the events.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing events. Okay.
Yes.
Hang on. Right.
He's got sort of his paperwork. Here we go.
Yeah.
What have we got? What have we got coming up, Tony?
Yeah, we've got a few things coming up. Firstly, don't forget, if you've got an event in your comic shop or, you know, anywhere, then give us a shout and we'll call it out on the podcast. The next thing is 4th of October, back again, is the place you can go to fill your loft full of dirty paper, is the London Comic Mart at the Royal National Hotel.
I really want to go to that one day.
Mate, you've got to come up. It's good. You'd like it, yeah.
I'll come over and, like, you know, we can top and tail and just have a weekend of it. Just have a weekend of it, yeah.
That'll be lovely, yeah.
And then start the sleeping arrangements.
No sleep, my friend. And you'll be doing push-ups.
Oh, can I go on his back? Anyway, right.
My God.
Can you do cock push-ups?
Oh, God.
Never tried.
Oh, my.
Get halfway up, and then it sort of stops. So that's on the 4th of October. That's 11. £5 if you want to go in before midday. It opens at 11, or after midday, it's free. The nearest tube is Euston or Russell Square. The 8th to the 11th of October is the Javits Centre, the New York Comic Con. I'll be there. They don't need promotion by us. They don't give a fuck, do they? But go pop down to Row, go to Artist Alley, which is the best place there to be in, and go to table I6, and you'll find past guest Mark Lamming, mate of the show, and Brian Vander, who's a future guest, I think next week, actually.
Brilliant.
Pop in and see them. They'll have some prints and do some sketching and that sort of thing. And Wilfredo Torres, who is brilliant, one of my favourite artists at the moment, is a couple of tables down from them. Just pop in and see them. 17th of October is a Leamington Spa Comic Con at the Assembly Halls. At that is David Lloyd, Lee Bradley and Simon Furman, who we talked about last week. Under 13s go for free. And there is a rumour circulating that we're doing a live podcast from that.
We're going to be doing some kind of recording there. Of some kind, so look forward to the shows coming up.
You've got like a klaxon to cover the swearing, you know what I mean?
Oh yes, a family show, so we might have to.
I don't know how we're going to manage it, to be honest with you.
Might need like a soundproof booth or something.
I've got sexy Tourette's.
Fingering, for goodness sake.
Oh, I might try and get Bob Finger's name in, just slide it.
Don't say slide it in, for God's sake.
Never go in dry, that's what Emily told me. Okay.
Right.
24th of October is Nottingham Comic Con. The website is nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk. You've heard about that in the show already. Also at it, as well as Rob and Maddius, is Duncan Fogredo, Dan McDade, Mark Lamming, Dean Beattie, Level 8 Comics, who we reviewed Brethren Born last week from. Brilliant. 2008, they're going to have a big table there. Christian Wild Goose and his good lady Laura Trinder and many, many more. I'm going to be doing some panels at that, and there's going to be quite a few people there. So pop along to that. It's a really good, proper comic convention. None of your last Stormtrooper on the right and all that sort of bollocks, but yeah, really worth going to. And the T-shirts went on sale today as well, so get yourself a T-shirt.
Cool.
Nice. That's it for the events, I think, dude.
Yeah, I stumbled across something. I only kind of briefly had a chance to look at it. But it looks like Webtoons.com are running a superhero comics contest, and it's being fronted by Stan Lee. Essentially, I think what you've got to do is you've got to have two superhero issues of a superhero comic that you've done. You can enter into the contest. The first prize is $30,000. Second prize is $10,000. And it looks like they're going to be doing a bit of an artist hunt from it, that you can kind of be a paid line Webtoon artist that basically gets paid to do webcomics 24/7. So that's worth checking out. You go to webtoons.com/contest. It's not an endorsement for me because I haven't read all through all of it. So don't sort of say, come at me if there's anything wrong with that contest at all. But, you know what I mean?
Never come at guns.
Yeah, never come at guns.
Especially when I'm holding my hands up saying, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But also, wanted to give a shout out to our brothers from Another Mother, the guys on the Games and Graphics podcast, which you can listen to, gamesandgraphics.podmatic.com. And I know Rob's appeared on that show. And,
I'd so. Think them any leeway with regards to talking, if I remember rightly. I don't know what you mean.
I don't have the dates for the Lakes in front
the
of
Lakes,
me.
The Lakes Festival is October 16th to October 18th. There's guys like Ian McHugh there. I think Sean Phillips is there. I'm just having a goosey now, to be honest with you. It's got some good people there.
I know John Freeman's doing some interviews there, I think.
Yeah, Alistair Woods, somebody I'm working with, is going to be there as well, I do believe. I think he's going with Ian McHugh.
I think Page 45 from Nottingham are there as well. I think Page 45 are quite a big presence, don't they, I think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Starburst magazine will be there as well. And stuff like that, you know, Starburst magazine have been really good to us at Mad Ears, to be honest with you. It's really interesting.
Nice one.
See yourself in print, you know what I mean, in a national magazine. That was crazy.
Yeah.
I wet myself.
That is incredible. That is... Okay. Oh, dear. Oh dear, speaking of wetting yourself, have we got a competition, Tony, that we want?
We have, yeah, we've got a brilliant competition that doesn't involve wetting yourself.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're lucky enough a few episodes ago to have the brilliant Leah Moore on, and she's very chatty, and she talked a lot about Electro Comics, which she, John Reppy and Alan Moore and some other cracking comic creators have launched a free comics platform. With some absolutely beautiful work on it by people like Leah and John and Alan. And it's also got comics by art by Nicholas Scott and Colleen Duran, writing by Garth Ennis and Peter Hogan, and absolutely brilliant. It's growing by the minute, as I understand. There's a lot of submissions coming their way. Check it out, electricomics.net, and on the Electric Comics app. It's currently on the iPad, and I think it's coming to other sort of tablets soon. She's donated to the show some competition prizes, actually, really nice ones. We've got some Alan Moore signed goodies. There's a sort of small interview magazine with a little bit of comics in it that Alan Moore has signed, and some badges. And there's just one question. It's an easy question, which you can take a guess at. I was a little drunk for one of the interviews we did. Now, if you can spot it, there are a couple of sort of telltale signs. I'm not sort of falling over drunk or anything like that, but... There's a couple of telltale signs, most of the introduction I give to the interview, which I thought was quite artistic at the time, but weren't. Yeah. If you can guess which one it is, you can go in the draw to win a prize. And we had a couple of successful guesses so far, haven't we, I think?
Yeah.
So write in. You can write in to the awesome... the Twitter account? Sorry, it's The Awesome Pod, isn't it?
At The Awesome Pod, yeah.
At The Awesome Pod. You can write into the email address, which is what... Vince?
awesomecomicspod@gmail.com,
or into the Facebook group, which we've got going at the moment,
facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast.
Brilliant, mate. Nice one. So write in, have a go, and we'll send you these out. This is open to anyone worldwide, so I know we've got a few listeners in America and stuff, which is really nice. So if you're anywhere in the world, then I will post it out to you. Just try and take a guess.
There you go.
As well.
Yes, we got a few shout outs. Who wants to go first?
Do you want to go, Vince?
Yes, I shall indeed. I think it's this show is the perfect time to start a few shout-outs for A Place to Hang Your Cape. It's if you love superheroes, and we all do, don't we? I think.
Yeah.
Not everyone does, but all the cool people do.
They're all right.
You be quiet, Jones.
Ah, how dare you.
So if heroes are your thing, if they're the thing that float your boat, then check out A Place to Hang Your Cape. Now, it's a website where you can find articles about the superhero genre in every medium, as well as supporting independent comic book creators. I can say that for an actual fact, because they were the first ever people to review any of my work when they reviewed the Red Mask from Mars Origin issue. When I was a nervous young creator and I was just hoping that someone was going to read my book, they were the first ones that read it and gave me a favourable review and were really nice about it. I had a chance to meet Dave and Will at ICE this year, which ended up in a big chat about the Star Trek movies. So you know how that normally goes. God bless comic conventions. So they're a great bunch of guys and gals. It's a great website and it's hugely supportive of this medium we love. So I urge you to check out A Place to Hang Your Cape, and their website is ap2hyc.com. So go there and get your superhero fix today.
Cracking site, yeah, well worth checking out.
Last week they did a review of Paper Cuts and Ink Stains 2 that actually made me cry with happiness.
Hey.
Oh.
Yay! It was amazing.
You actually cried? Oh,
not really. I there was a bit of misting.
You know? Yeah, Yorkshireman's tears.
And then my whippet ran off, and you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, that Yorkshireman thing. Born in Chatham.
Hey,
so I describe myself as an honorary Yorkie.
Not you want to take from Chatham? Christ, you've been there. Right, bloody hell.
Not for a long time.
Can I just give a shout out to Sam Webster, who very kindly sent me in a copy of Joe Cape issue 3, which is the ends of the first arc. I don't think it's the end of the series, but we all know Sam from conventions and stuff.
Yeah, great.
So if you want to get an issue or any of the first three issues, which is a sort of self-contained story, go to www.sjwebster.net. okay,
once again, big superhero action, so
checking out. There you go.
And also I'd like to give a shout out to Pipe Dream Comics, a lovely bunch of guys and gals. Again, I've said that twice, guys and gals. I don't know, perhaps I've got a musical.
You used to say that, don't you? You be careful.
Why, who used to say that?
Savile.
It was Savile.
Oh, hang on. Have you just... You crossed the line, Esmond.
Jesus. He's not insinuating anything.
All right.
You just say the same things as an adult paedophile.
It's just your guilty conscience flaring up.
Right,
you're wearing a lot of jewellery and a tracksuit.
Say what you all.
I'm pretty glad I bought prop popcorn for this. I'm just sad.
Yeah, if you thought the character assassination was bad a couple of weeks ago, fucking hell.
Compared you to Jimmy Savile.
I see you in a tracksuit, Vince. At any conventions, I'm running the other way.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, fuck's sake. Thank God I edit this. Anyway, back to the actual rails of this show. Pipe Dream Comics. They're a great bunch of people who basically their website's all based around digital comics. So if you have an iPad and you like reading your comics digitally, then you should check them out. They do a lot of the best new titles from the big two and all the other publishers, Image, etc., and they have exclusive interviews with the comics world's some of the comics world biggest names, as well as new and exciting. Tony just sent me a message on the Skype and he's totally thrown me off. Fucking arsehole. Right.
Yeah, got some big names, say? Some real good talent coming up on that Pipe Dream Comics.
Yeah, Pipe Dream Comics. So yeah, sorry about this, guys. I didn't mean, Tony, to ruin your segue. But yeah, they've got some great interviews on there, actually, as well. And they also talk about a lot of indie comics, especially a lot of small press. Getting them to the digital side of things can be a bit tricky, you know, especially getting your name out there when everything else is out there digitally. So Pipe Dream will give you a focus there. Aren't they doing something with you, Dan? Aren't they interviewing you someone soon?
I've got a great long list of interview questions that I'm filling out, and it's nice that they've kind of taken the time to read the issues through and ask very pertinent questions. So I'm on the case with that. I'm awful with typing, so it's taking me fucking forever.
Well, as long as you don't write guys and gals, you'll be fucking fine, won't you?
Because Dan was the body doubling over the top, the Seagal.
That was Stallone over the top, wasn't it?
Oh, sorry, it wasn't it. Yeah, sorry, Stallone.
Yeah. But yeah, I doubled him extensively as well, so it's fun.
Yeah, check out pipedreamcomics.co.uk. Yeah, well worth checking out. Lovely guys as well, because we saw them at Melksham. Didn't we meet them at Melksham, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did, yeah. Yeah, we did. I think we only met one of them, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. It's all a blur. Convention weekends are always a blur to me.
Mm.
Especially when I've got to stand next to you two. Anyway, right, this show almost went completely off the rails and self-imploded. But I'm bringing it back. I'm going to get this shit under control. So, have we got any recommendations, lads? Basically, Tony, over to you, you bastard.
Right. My recommendation is a comic called The Unmentionables, believe it or not. Everything I seem to recommend has got a sort of double entendre to it, isn't it?
Yes.
But this is called The Unmentionables, and it's another wrestling comic, actually. Remember last week I did a sort of wacky sort of WCF or WWF wrestling comic thing from space. Yeah. This is a bit like that. It's written and drawn by Jack Teagle, he's actually a UK creator, but this is published by Retrofit Comics, who we talked about a few weeks ago, who did Drawn Onward. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Love Affair on the Tube comic. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's they're an interesting company because Retrofit have recently joined up with Avery Hill to distribute each other's comics either sides of in America and England, if you see what I mean. It's going to be available soon in the shops and stuff. It starts in a wrestling ring where between two female wrestlers, most of the wrestlers in it are women. By Big Vulture is fighting Lizard Woman. Lizard Woman being the sort of hero of the piece. But where it sort of differs from the one we talked about last week is it's got a sort of a bit of a sort of domestic angle to it. She's a sort of single mum who's bringing up a kid, even though she looks like a lizard and fights in the ring, you know. And so it's not quite that sort of bad girls wrestling comic you expect it to be, almost, you know. It's sort of violent, and it turns into what happens is she goes to look after the kids and can't do it because it turns out the woman she was wrestling is a sort of super bad. The Big Vulture woman goes with her sort of little team of wrestlers to go and rob a bank. So the hero teams up with a couple of other sort of weird sort of one who's called Beer, who's a woman dressed in a bee costume. It sounds quite cool. And the other one is Mr. Muscles, who looks a bit like a sort of veined penis, really, with arms.
Oh, I was just about to say, does he look like Dan? But then you
mentioned the whole thing. So sort of, and they go sort of to fight them outside the bank, and they become heroes of the town. And at the end of it, they form this team, the Unmentionables. And there's a couple of versions of it online. The strip was also recently in Off Life magazine, a sort of 4 or 5 page story. It's got a sort of indie cartoony feel with it, without the sort of DIY craziness of last week's Reckless Wrestlers. It's got a sort of artier edge. I hate saying that phrase artier, but it's got a sort of more of a sort of indie comics with an X feel to it. Mm. Where Reckless Wrestlers was sort of Prison Pit, this is more a sort of Sam Bosner or got almost a sort of Love and Rockets feel to it, or maybe Cyber Realm by Ren McDonald. And it's really, really fun. It's put out by Retrofit. You can find them at retrofit.com or at Retrofit Comics on Twitter. And you can find Jack at jackteagle.co.uk or at Jack Teagle. Really sort of surprisingly interesting, readable style. That at first you look at it, it looks a bit sort of mosaic-y almost. But when you get into it, you dig into it, it's good. Really good. That's my one.
Nice. Dan, what about you?
Well, after last week's, when we was doing our inspirations and we was talking about Mike Zeck and the Punisher, I went back and dug out one of my favourite Punisher stories by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson, which is Punisher Born. I don't know if you guys ever read that.
Yeah, good. I've got that, yeah.
I think it's a fascinating character study of the Punisher before he becomes like this kind of the vigilante that we know and love. But a lot of Punisher stories I find I don't really ever do the character justice and never really kind of get the right angle on him, but this is really well done. It's kind of set in the last days of the Vietnam War, and it looks at how kind of Frank contrasts into all these other characters in the story, how he kind of enters like a bit of a Faustian bargain that you never hear of again, but essentially he trades things he loves for kind of like to live his life as this continual kind of war junkie. And it's good because when you're starting the story up, you don't see Frank as this kind of sociopath, psychopath who's kind of this loving war. But by the end, he's kind of gone to an extreme. And it's very well written and very dark for kind of like a Marvel title. I can kind of sometimes take or leave Derek Robertson. I know it won't make too many people happy about that. But sometimes his character models can kind of jump a lot from page to page. But he does really well in this one. I really recommend pick it up. It's only like £8-9, I think. So
it's a very good book.
Speaking of Mike Zeck, dude, did you see that they've finally releasing in big hardbacks the Master Kung Fu comics?
No, I didn't see so that.
Yeah, it came out this week. Yeah, finally out. I think probably they just listened to our show and saw
it. Makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, they're coming out. I was very excited. Yeah, I think there's four or five big omnibuses at the moment going to come out, which is great news. Really good news.
I dug through some old comics, and I dug up one where done by that Paul Galanson. He's fighting a chap called Shang-Chi, fighting someone called Razor Fist.
The one who's got Razor Fist. Rather than hands.
He's got two great big machetes on each hand. Yeah. Which,
how does he wipe his ass?
Well, if someone with two machetes on his hands tells you to wipe his ass, you do it.
Well, to be fair, if he's got two machetes on his hands, he's not going to be eating that much either. So, not coming out the other end, is it? Let's face it.
Like shish kebab.
Oh dear, unbelievable. Yeah, so Punisher Born, check it out. Yeah. For what I read at Melksham Comic Con this year. An artist, writer, illustrator, all of that jazz, named Zach Simmons-Hearn came up and had a chat with me. He does a lot of work for The Phoenix. Have you heard of it? We know The Phoenix, the weekly comic.
Yeah.
He's done a strip called Sky Drifters for The Phoenix, which is a beautiful-looking strip. And he's also got his own comic called Monstrosity, which is the story of a guy that basically has a demon for an arm. It's the origin story of Dago Bazalel, and I'm sorry if I've mucked that up, Zach. And it's the adventures he stumbles into after having his arm possessed by a powerful demon, as you do. So him and his best friend Joe soon find themselves caught between sort of mysterious opposing forces that are dragging them in different sort of directions, and it threatens to tear apart the city that they live in. It's full of mystery, over the top characters and action, and it's proper quality. He very generously sent me the issues to check out, and it just sort of blew me away. Actually, it's kinetic artwork and story pacing. There's very much an anime sort of manga sort of feel to some of the movement. When you have those sort of blurred lines around a fist as it's punching someone in the face. You know, he does action like that. It's over the top, crazy. He's not afraid of a background either. There are some lovely backgrounds going on in this comic, especially in issue two when the main character ends up at a church. Which leads into introducing more sort of like ninja type characters from one side of the battle. But the backgrounds of this church just look lovely, and he's got a great sort of framing sort of process. You know, the panels just really sort of bounce, and the story just really flows. I mean, the first issue is like the more you find out he's like a survivor. Like there's an explosion in a building, and he's a graphic designer. This character, so Dan, I'm sure you know. Well, that's like you'll be able to, so it's all about how he survived the explosion, and then he's got like a bandaged arm that totally it sort of bursts from its bandages later on when he has a fight on a subway. You know, there's like a traditional sort of final fight sort of gang that might start a bit of trouble, and they really shouldn't have because his arm properly kicks in and like shit goes down, and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And in the second issue, it picks up a month later when the main character goes for a job interview. Now, this is the thing that struck with me, because it rang true. And if you can tell it's written from experience. It's just a small scene of when this designer is going for a job, basically, with a company, like some agency. And you've got the agency just sort of looking at his portfolio, just flicking through it. There's just a couple of panels of this guy flicking through it going, with no emotion on his face, and it, and you can tell like the designer's just, you know, what does he think? You know, I could. I saw that scene. I just thought, I've totally been there. I know that. I know this is a scene that's drawn from real life experience. So, and then shortly afterwards, it all goes off into different directions. Anyway, but, you know, you've got great characters like the bad guy gangs called the Venge Trolls, and they've got a mysterious leader. And I can't. I can't say enough good things about it. Actually, Zach's going to be launching the third issue, Thought Bubble. As we're talking about the festival of launches, it seems.
Yeah. No, you sent it to me, didn't you, dude? Yeah. I read it, and I'm not big into. I don't mind it, but I'm not big into manga. And to me, sometimes a little bit too much melodrama puts me off. But this was straightforward. It had a little bit of the sort of Fist of the North Star in it. It was that sort of frenzied action.
Yeah.
You know,
which I really
liked.
That's one of my favourites.
Yeah. The over the top sort of, you know, when an arm sort of curves, it sort of slightly curves a little bit more than it should, but it works brilliantly because it's. You know, it's punching someone in the face really hard.
Yeah. So anything that's about that, just that. Do you know what I mean? It's shamelessly about that, which is good. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's all... And it starts off. You see this main character, and he's got like this demon arm, and there's this huge monster in the background, and that then it's like, this is the story of how this came to be.
That got me. That first image of the big monster, I thought, right, I'm going to enjoy this. Yeah, that was a great opening page, definitely.
Yeah. And then speaking of Zach at Melksham, you know, I mean, I didn't know about this comic until he had a chat, you know. He said, oh, I've got this. And he was a lovely bloke, you know, quietly spoken, just thought, oh, yeah, I've got a comic called Monstrosity. As soon as he said Monstrosity, I thought, let's hear some more. And then I said, what's it about then? Oh, it's a guy that's basically just got his arms possessed by a demon. I had already bought the first issue. As soon as he said that, I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, and he sent it to me, and I'm going to be picking up all of the print issues. And, you know, it's a lovely put-together book. You know, Zach's got some serious chops. And if he keeps going, like, you know, I think his career is obviously going well because he's working for the Phoenix and, like, does some great stuff there. And you go on his website, you can just see ZachSimmonsHearn.co.uk. I'll put the link in there.
Hasn't he done some stuff for, like, if I remember rightly, like kids animation? I was really lucky to get when I used to write for Intercomics. I interviewed him about Monstrosity, you know, and obviously it's a cracking comic. You know, that's a brilliant recommendation. Really, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun,
isn't
right?
it?
It's over the top, and it's just brilliant.
Yeah, you know? it's not sort of like gratuitous either. I mean, it's Saturday morning sort of kids cartoon, sort of like, you know, taken to the extreme.
Definitely.
You know, it's great stuff. So you can check it out, monstrositycomic.co.uk. Like I say, Zach's going to be at Thought Bubble. I think you can pick up, if there's links to getting the digital issues, I think, on his website and stuff. So definitely check it out, Monstrosity. People with demons for arms. I love it. I'm such a simple man. Anyway, Rob, what about you? What recommendation have you got, my friend?
I've got a three-pronged attack of recommendations for you, all right? One's a webcomic. It's called hotstuffcomic.com.
Easy. Oh, my word.
Right. But it's by a woman called Angela Sprecher, and it's about this angry teenage girl and a weird kid who sometimes sets things on fire, and there's loads of monsters in it. It's great stuff. Angela's fantastic. She does really good, over-exaggerated, cartoonish kind of style to her stuff, and it is definitely well worth checking out.
It's a little bit blanket-y to me, actually. There's the quality of the line. I was just looking at it as you're talking about, mate. And it's a little bit of the blankets. Yeah, really like it. Yeah, interesting stuff.
We're really lucky to be working with Angela. She's doing something in an upcoming Paper Cuts.
All right, cool.
So that's cool. Next one I'm going to recommend is SICKBA Award nominee Gary Mack's Gonzo Cosmic, which is just a mind-bending comic. It's absolutely crazy. You know, you're following this this billionaire, what's his name? Andal Novak and his crew as they're kind of catapulted through space, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And it's got some real, absolutely crazy visuals to it. It's brilliant. It is well worth checking out. You know what I mean? You can pick it up on Comixology, and I think Gary's got some print copies as well. You know, and it is definitely worth it. If you like your sci-fi, if you like to sit down and look at something whilst listening to Pink Floyd, you know what I mean, and read the comic and just sit there and trip, you're well away. You can sit there, you'd be lost in it for hours, because like I said, the visuals just, they will warp your fragile little mind, you know what I mean? And then the last one I'm gonna suggest is, it's been going for a while now, actually, Amelia Cole. Amelia Cole.
Yeah.
The artist is a guy called Nick Brokenshire, and it's written by called, Adam P. Nave and DJ Kirkbride. And it's through Monkey Brain Comics. And I do believe when it comes to print copies, I think it's through IDW. I want to say that. I might be wrong. It might just be...
Yeah, I think they've got a deal, haven't they, together? I think they put stuff out, yeah.
If I remember rightly. Again, it's a really fun, you know, very, very, very good comic to read on, you know what I mean? And it's, you know, the main character, she lives in, like, it's kind of... dual world, one of magic and the other technology, and the other way it kind of just melts stuff together. And like Nick's artwork is brilliant throughout, you know. And Nick's also in a band, and that's cool. well worth checking out, you know. I mean, they're my three recommendations anyway. That's what I think people
nice
should.
One.
Blimey! Cool. So there's a lot of comics to check out after this show. There's an awful lot of.
You got your show links work cut out for you, Vince.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Never mind the show links. Editing this is going to be...
No, it's all staying in.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? It probably will. I'm just, you know, I'm just too emotionally exhausted to do it.
Just write in with a picture of Vince as Jimmy Savile in a Jimmy Savile...
No, right. Look. People, right. Normally, I go on about contacting. Just get in touch. Just to be nice to me, please.
I'll hug you.
Thanks, man. Because
you're a consolatory hug, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You can see now what I have to deal with.
Seems to be escalating as well.
I know it's getting worse. I tell you what. Yeah, Tony's like sexy. You're like bloody like Mr. Adonis, Mr. Olympia. And what the flipping hell am I? Jimmy Savile? I'm having none of this. Next week, it's changing. Right.
I'm never letting you forget. You just called me sexy. That's never gonna.
Well, you know, I call him like I see him. Anyway, folks, thanks for joining us today, Rob.
It's been
fantastic stuff.
It's been great to be on. You know, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've sat here and drunk four beers, and you know, it's all good.
Splendid. And now your wife's probably going to go into labour.
Possibly.
Yeah. So you're perfectly set up for it.
Exactly.
Don't forget, we'll be buying you drinks. We'll be buying each other drinks at Thought Bubble and at Nottingham. So
you've all got to buy me drinks after tonight.
Paint jam. Do you want Baby Sham Vince?
Don't call me Baby Sham Vince. That would probably be oh. Right, folks. We hope you enjoyed this episode. At least three out of the four people that did this episode have enjoyed this episode. as always, get in touch with us and let us know what you think of it and what we talked about. There's several ways you can do it. You can catch us on the email, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If you've got any books, events, anything you want to tell us about in the small press comics world, etc., tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod, on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and Lord knows what images are going to go on that page this week. And thank you very much if you checked us out on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. We truly appreciate every single listen we get every week. It's really brilliant. It's fantastic. Yeah. And we also truly appreciate all those people that have left a review or anything on iTunes. Now we're on iTunes.
We've got 8 or 9 now, haven't we? Yeah,
we've got 8 or 9 reviews, which means we've got an average review, lads. Do you know what our average review is?
No.
1 out of 5.
No, it's 5 stars.
We got that feature, didn't we?
Yes.
On iTunes, yeah.
The new and noteworthy.
Well. Yeah.
Not one of those, don't listen to this, for God's sake.
Yeah, thanks. Robin put us in the touch there. Robin from the Orbiting Pod sent me a message and said, oh, look at this. Yeah,
cheers,
very cool.
Robin, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, definitely.
That was confusing. I thought you meant me.
We confuse everyone every week. So
I'm perpetually confused. It's fine. That's how I live my life now. Walking around going, what comic am I lettering? Who's doing this? When's
It's only going to get worse once you have another child.
Don't. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yes. So when you hear about it, folks, say congratulations to Rob about that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well done, Rob.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, folks. Right, where can you catch us on Twitter, Tony?
Ezoyes on Twitter, which is EZOHYZ. view an event section at Down the Tubes.
Nice. Dan?
I'm on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Splendid, which you should, because it aches. You can catch me on Twitter at Jester Diablo. And Rob, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Rob Jones Writes, and I must insist you go and find Maddius Comics at Maddius Comics. And we're also on Facebook. Just look for us, Maddius Comics, and then everything else will just slot into place and your life will be fine.
Splendid.
Nice one.
Right, well, yep. Thank you for listening, folks. In advance, thank you for any sort of support you give me emotionally. And just
Vince will fix it if you need it.
Oh. Oh, yeah, get those pictures coming in.
Oh, God. Right, it's been emotional. So this was the last episode of the Awesome Comics Podcast.
You said that before. Time.
Yeah. Right, thank you for listening, folks. Have a great week. Whenever you listen to this episode, have a great week, month, day, whatever. We wish nothing but the best for you, because we love you. And, yeah, and from Dan, Tony, Rob, and myself, have a brilliant week, and stay awesome. See ya.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Shut up, Tony.